The title of today's message is From Mercy to a Mess. It's amazing how quick life can change and it becomes a mess. Financially, things seem to be going good. All of a sudden, one day something happens and the economy falls apart, and all of a sudden our finances seem to be in a mess. Just that quick. Physically, walking well. I preached 5 funerals in the last couple of weeks, and I got a couple more this week. And some of them were healthy people walking life and just died. Just that second, physically, life is just wonderfully. And then a mess comes. Broken mess. So spiritually, man, one day we're all in church, and the next day we can't come to church. Spiritually, who could have thought that could happen? See how quickly it could go from mercy to a mess. And socially, how many have divorced your best friends, or maybe divorced your mate, or divorced your people that we used to love? All of a sudden, it just happens. We can go from mercy to a mess all so quickly. And I just want you to understand, today's message is about the nation of Israel living under the mercy of God for years. And all of a sudden, quickly, their life became a mess. I want to share that with you. Now, I am not a Bible scholar. I'm a Bible student. If you ever want to study the theology of the Word of God, the book of Romans is a great place to put your time. It's a great place to understand how God works in grace and mercy. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 in the book of Romans pertains to the nation of Israel and to us, the Gentiles, and how all the mercy switched from the Jew people to the Gentile. We are now under the mercy of Christ. And his lineage, the Jews, he is the king of the Jews. Jesus himself, born of the Jew bloodline, has alienated them. We're going to read that. Because of sin. Because of sin. Let me remind you, God does not put up with sin. He is a warrior God. The first war ever declared in this world was declared in heaven. He kicked Lucifer and the fallen angels out like that. He is a God of righteousness and love and justice. And the nation of Israel was living under the mercy of God for a long time. And all of a sudden, Apostle Paul is going to come here today with the most broken heart. And his heart is so broken over this issue. He said he'd rather die and go to hell and spend his eternity there if God would just give mercy back to the Jews. He himself be willing to do that. Now think about that. His heart is so troubled over this issue. I want our heart to be troubled, but we are the Gentiles. And I want to see how we fit into the game plan of God. Amen? In Romans chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to be going through verse 9 to 11. Just follow along. I hope all the scriptures is all in order. I've been messing with this message for a week now and trying to put it together. In verse 1, chapter 9, I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Paul is as broken as he could be with the statements that God has put on his heart to write concerning the Jews. Kathy and I have been blessed to be in the Holy Land 5 times. The last time we went to the Holy Lands, we went with Orthodox Jews, and we followed their floor plan. The most learning curve I've ever had. And I love the Jews. Jesus himself, he's king of the Jews. He's my Savior. But I learned so much about them. I learned about the orthodoxy and how it works, and I was amazed how devout they are and everything they do. They're always guilty because they're always eating food they shouldn't eat. And they always tell me I shouldn't eat that. You know how many prayers I'm going to have to pray to get over that eating? How would you like to be an Orthodox Jew today? Amen? But they are, and that's the law. Now, Paul is a Jew in writing to the Jews, proclaiming his brokenness for them. He says that I have great sorrow, continually grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ. I myself would take the curse for them, for my brethren, kinship according to the flesh. They're my brothers. Who are Israelites? Who are pertaining to the adoption? Now he talks about the benefits of the Jews. Who are they were the adopted ones into the kingdom of God. They were it. They were Abraham's seed. They were the chosen one, the people of God. They had the glory. The Shinite glory surrounded them and blessed them phenomenally. They had the covenants, the commandments, all the things that God gave to the world. He gave it through them, for them. He wanted to walk with them. He's a chosen people. He was their Savior. He was their God. He says the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. All the promises he made to Abraham. He says, Abraham, your children, your family will be as the stars of the sky and the sea of the sand. We're going to multiply you. Just live by faith, Abraham. Just live by faith. Remember we talked about Abraham and he willing to offer up his son? Because he had so much faith in God, that much faith that says, God, I'll do whatever you ask. I'll do whatever I need to do. I trust you totally. There's nothing separating me from you, God, not even my own son. And Abraham had all those promises. They had all the glory. They had all the gifts. They had the law. They had the attention of God. He had their bloodline. Paul's talking about their position. And how benefit it was. In verse 5, of whom are the fathers, from whom according to the flesh Christ came, is over the eternal blessings of amen. He says, Jesus come from them. His bloodline is their bloodline. Think about that. The Jews are the covenant ones. They are the ones that have been chosen by God. And he chose them to be light and salt in a sinful world and to redeem the world. You know, I can't make this up. I got to share this with you. I have a bunch of artifacts from Israel, prayer shawls and different things that really, really important to an Orthodox Jew. Had them for years, decided I'm just going to pass them on. And so I have a friend that sells stuff for me on the internet. And so people came last night, was going to buy those shawls and stuff, which were very holy to them, the Orthodox Jews. So I walked into my house and I said, why are you buying this? Are you a Jew? And the lady says, I work at the Jewish hospital. I about fell over. I said, golly, that's a long way from being a Jew. Like, wouldn't it be a Mexican? And not one. And so she says, yeah, but I've been studying this Jewish thing, he said, and I love all the Jewish things they did and all the laws and all that. I just want this shawl and I want to pray over this. And she says, I want to be the best Jew you could ever be. I said, I got good news. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They didn't do it. And now they're out of the blessings of Christ. And you're a Gentile. He says, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, be satisfied with being a Christian. And pray about that. See, there's this aura of respect for the Jews. Well, let me take that back. The most abused people in the world are the Jewish people. Hitler killed millions. Always been under the auspice of people of hatred and prejudices. Worse than any prejudice in the world, the Jewish people. But there is an aura about that. Jesus himself came from that. See, he's telling us, Paul's talking about how wonderful the Jewish nation was and how God blessed them above everyone else. But now, the mess. The mess comes as he begins to talk about this. And he begins to share with them. He says, but in verse 6, but is not the word of the Lord was taken no effect? For they are not all Israel who are Israel. Now, I want you to know what Paul was doing here after the resurrection of Christ. He was preaching to the Jews. Remember the Jews first and then the Gentiles in the scriptures? In Romans, it talked about that. So he's taking this message of Jesus who died, who is the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God coming through our lineage. And he's come to save us. They had nothing to do with it. No. We got high priest here. We got the Ten Commandments here. He is not real. And they rejected Jesus. And they rejected Jesus. And they rejected Jesus. Paul would preach. and they just would not hear. He says, for the word of God has no effect. And let me just ask you a question. In the Gentile world today, how much effect is the word of God having on us as a nation? When we can kill babies under the mandate of a woman's rights, you tell me where we are. When we can decide in the Supreme Court of America that marriage is no longer between a man and a woman, it can be a man and man or woman and woman. How is that law breaking God's law? We are so far, we can march in the streets of America, immorality, and celebrate it. And if you stand against it, you'll be a bigot in America. Stand against those rights. And all of a sudden, we're the outsiders. All of a sudden, we have lost the privilege. America is moving. The word of God is becoming no effect into the Gentile world today. I want to see what happened when it got that way for the Jewish people. I want you to understand this. As he speaks, the word has no effect. I want to go to verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. So then, it is of none of them who wills it, or who runs, and who runs, but God shows mercy. Let me share. He goes on and says, remember Pharaoh? I killed all of them just to show how powerful I was. See, God decides who gets mercy. Nobody else decides who gets mercy. When you're in a mess, and I'm in a mess, you know what we need? Mercy. And mercy comes from God, and you can't earn it, you can't buy it. I decide. I'm sovereign. I'm Jehovah. I'm all powerful. I'm the warrior. I'm the lover. I'm God. So I don't care what all we've had, God can take it away just that quick. You must believe that. I do. I'm more concerned what God thinks about what we're doing than America thinks about what we're doing. I think we've lost our way in so many ways. He says, so the mercy comes from Christ and Christ only. God decides who gets mercy. And all this begins to work out in their lives. He sends it there. In chapter 9, verse 24 and 26, let me read this to you. Even so whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he said also to Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people. And I will be loved, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people. There they will be called the sons of the living God. He's speaking of the Gentile nation. We're going to get into that. He's going to mention the Gentiles. He says, Hosea prophesied, my people will not be my people. One day my people are going to go so far away from God, I'm going to remove the mercy from their lives. They're going to be targeted, and they're going to be hated, and they're going to suffer. But he says, I'm the God of mercy, and I choose where it goes and where it doesn't go. Remember that. Sometimes we become a little haughty about our spirit and a little prideful, like I'm a Christian and I got privileges. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a Christian and I got privileges. But I got a God who decides my privileges. You got that? Never forget that. You know why worship is so important? God commanded it. Read that 10th commandment. Read that commandment. He commanded it. In Hebrews, when they were dialoguing with him, he said, don't you forsake the assembly of God. Don't you do it. And the Great Commission, go thee into the world. When do you stop that? When does that happen? God's watching the Gentiles. He is watching us closely because he's an all-seeing God. Amen? So he's telling us. Hosea prophesied that. God can change people groups. He can do it. And then if you go to verse 30, as he begins to share with us, let me just stop here for a moment. In my experience of the Holy Land, let me share it with you. It is one of the greatest places spiritually that I have ever been in my life. It's where Jesus lived. We went to his town. We went to the Sea of Galilee. We went to Mount Hermon. We traveled through the whole lands. It's a wonderful place. I mean, it's exciting for us as Christians. But it is spiritually dead. Everything in the Holy Lands is where God used to be. There is no Savior in the Holy Lands today. There is none. It's the most religious place in the world, with no glory, with no miracles, and no power of God. It's all the artifacts. Go to Bethlehem and see where he was born. It's all used to be God. This is where he lived. This is where he played. This is where he did his miracle. I love it on Caesarea Philippi. I went up on those rocks at Caesarea, and stood there. And I can remember, I can hear Jesus say that. When he asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell can't stand against it." There at Caesarea Philippi, I stood on a rock. I'm sure it may be not the rock that Jesus stood on, but it was the rock where Jesus was standing, and he declared the power and the glory of the church, and hell can't stop it. Let me tell you about the gates. The gates are made for defense. So the Christians couldn't get in. But God says, "I gave you the power to charge it, and the gates of hell can't stop you." That's what I love about Caesarea Philippi and the church of our land today. Amen? That's the glory. So I would stand there. I went to the tomb. And there was a tomb where it was carved out that you know, they could have been where he was. I stood there in that room, in that little hollowed rock, and I sit there and cry, just thinking, I knew it wasn't a place, but it was like a place that he was, that he died there. And then I turn around and walk out, and the door was there. It says, "He is risen. He's not here." I about tore that rock up getting out of there. That's the holy place, but it's a place of yesteryear. There's no glory in it today. The Muslims are there. It's the most religious people in the world. Ramadan. Ramadan is, it's one of the five pillars when they go back to Mecca and they pray. And all the Jews fly all over the world. In Africa, where I go in October, I'm going to 95% of where I go is Muslim. And you can't get in out of the airport because all those Africans, all the Muslims, are flying back to Mecca. And they line and they walk for days and for miles and miles because that's one of the pillars it takes to get to heaven in the Muslim world. The Muslims in Israel, when you walk in the inner city of Old Islam and it's time for prayer, everything stops. They close the door and they go pray twice a day. Stop twice a day and pray. Most religious place in the world. We were there on the Day of Atonement one year. The Day of Atonement is when the high priest goes in and pays for all the sins of his people. We were there that day, and it was kind of a weird day. They shut everything down. They closed the streets. They shut the doors. You can't go nowhere. You can't do nothing because it's a holy day. It's a Day of Atonement. It's a day the high priest is forgiven the sins of the Jews. That's still there. It's the most religious place in the world, but there's no glory. There's no mercy. There's no power. It's amazing. I got to preach at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem the Sunday I was there. It was an honor for me to be there and to preach to them and to share the love of Christ and Jesus and to meet some of those Jews that have been converted into Christianity, how hard their life is, how they're rejected by their families. I had a Jew at Cove Baptist Church when I pastored years ago in Louisville. He became born again. And man, it was one of the greatest privileges to meet this young man. And he says, "I'll be in trouble. My family disowned me." So he wrote back to Israel. His family lived in Israel. He told him he was saved. They sent him back. "Your name is no longer our name. We will not own you. You're not ours." He's rejected from them because of his walk with Christ today. It is a sad commentary what goes on in Israel today, where Jesus went, lived, died, and rose from the dead. But they rejected the word of God that Paul and the disciples were preaching. They'd have none of it. They tried to kill him. They did kill him. Let me just say this. They didn't kill him. He gave it up. You know why he gave it up? Because he had to pay for my sins and your sins and the sins of the world. He suffered there for this. But the mercy has left them. The Day of Atonement is still alive for them. Think about all of that. The religion in Israel today is phenomenal. But they've lost everything. The best I can read, only 10% of all the Jews that are born in that lineage even have anything to do with God. They're either atheists or agnostic. Very few have anything to do with it. But then here comes the Gentiles. Tell your neighbor, that's us. We're the Gentiles, amen? We're the reed. We're the people of faith. He says in verse 30, what shall we say then? The Gentiles who have not pursued righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. I didn't pursue it. I wasn't born into it. I didn't have to walk through the laws. Children have to be circumcised, the males. We didn't do any of that. We just found it by faith. Faith in a risen Savior. That's our DNA. That takes us to Calvary. It isn't the commandments. It's the faith. Read this with me. In verse 31, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not obtained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, the rock of offense. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Jesus was the stumbling block to the Jews. He come as the King of the Jews. Remember they mocked him and put up there on top of the cross, King of the Jews, and laughed? He was King of the Jews. But he's a stumbling block because they didn't want to give up their law, their way of doing business. It was the only way. And they missed him. At that moment, mercy left. And Israel was in a horrible mess. In chapter 11, I just want to begin to read. Let me read in Romans 10, 8 and 9. What shall we say? The word is near you, that in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. For if we confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How do we Gentiles get grafted into the blessings of Israel? By faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is marvelous. It's amazing. We the Gentiles, only by faith. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes in righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made in salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. He means everything to us. I am born again. I am saved. Only because of my faith in a Jesus, plus nothing. Nothing I can do to deserve this. No righteousness can come into my life because of what I give and how I help. It's because of what Jesus did by grace and mercy. The first Adam blew it, but the second Adam, Jesus Christ, gave us freedom by faith plus nothing. We now are under that blessing that changed our lives. But the message of Israel today, let me read it to you in chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, and the tribe of Benjamin. Paul says, certainly not. I'm a Jew. Here's the deal. God has a remnant he is saving for the big day to come for their reckoning. So has he cast away all Jews? Not so. He maintains a remnant of his people. Let me read that to you in verse 5. Even so then, at the present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God, because of his grace and the election of the Jews today, he has come and he has chosen a remnant to carry on the cross and the love of God in their lives. Jews will always be there. Go to Israel. They're fighting and dying over more land to move in that place. There's a remnant that he's saving, and I'm going to tell you when you're going to be using them. Even so, at the present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. In verse 7, what then? Israel has not obtained it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. The rest were hardened. Now listen to this. This is a big verse. Just as written, God has said, had given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see, the ears that could not hear, to this very day. And David said, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened and their and may not see, the bow down their back always. They're deafened and they're blinded. No mercy. Wiped them out. Wiped them out. Because of their sin. You know, in the Old Testament, they made a covenant. You know, a contract is the word covenant. The Old Testament, they made a covenant. You keep the 10, and I'll bless you. You break them, and I'll curse you. And today, that's where they are. That nation is there. God's people. It's amazing to me. But then he says, here is the purple of the Israelites. I say then, they have stumbled where they should fall. Certainly not. But though their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, Paul says, I want these Jews to see what the Gentiles have it, and they'll be jealous, and maybe some of them will take that faith. Take the step of faith. You got to disclaim Moses to do that. But take the step of faith and go totally with Jesus. I pray that there'll be a jealousy when they see the Christians flourish, when they see the glory come, when they see the miracles come to the Gentiles. Maybe they'll want some of it. I want them to see God got to spare a remnant for them. In verse 12, now if their fall is riches of the world and their failure riches for the Gentile, how much more for their fullness? For I speak to the Gentiles inasmuch I'm apostle of the Gentiles, to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Even by any means, I provoke to jealousy those who are the flesh and save some of them. If some of my Jewish best friends could just see what God's doing to the Gentiles, maybe they'll want some of that. Maybe they'll choose that. Let me tell you, it tells us here in Romans how we get in, how we, the Gentile, become the chosen blessings of God. He grafts us in. Kind of like a tree, an olive tree. You can graft branches onto it and it'll just grow. That's the analogy he draws in verse 17. If some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree, we're the wild ones. We're the Gentiles. The Jews were the branch. We're the wild ones. The wild olive tree were grafted among and then become partaker of the root in the fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches. Don't condemn the Jews. They were the branch. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You remember God, Jehovah. He's the one who drafted you in, drafted you into this. He says, but you shall say, branches were broken off that I may be grafted in. You know, every blessing God promised to Abraham, we get those blessings by faith. Every one of those blessings that God gave Abraham, we are grafted into that blessing as Gentiles. And let me tell you something. You've never seen prejudices till you see Jewish and Gentile prejudices. They hated one another, man, to this day. There's a lot of hatred. He says, well said, because of their unbelief, they were broken off and stand by faith. Do not be haughty by fear. Now, you need to take verse 21 and put it on your refrigerator. Verse 21 says this, but if God not spared the natural branches, he may not spare you either. That's the Gentile. If God would do that to his people, how much more will he do it to us when we walk away from the power and the righteousness of Christ and do not heed his word? That is a powerful statement. God washed out the analogy of his children and grafted us in, but don't ever think he can't do the same thing for us. Got it? My biggest concern is not all my children have to pay for my debt in America that we're raising crazy, but my children are going to pay for my sin. Because all those Israelite children, when God left them out, their children went with that left. I'm concerned about my children paying for our sins. And don't ever think that God wouldn't take the Gentile and push us aside for mercy because we would not believe the word of God. You know, you ever try to talk to a spoiled child and explain spoiled to them? They can't get it. They can't get it. I'm not spoiled. No, you don't get it. The Gentiles in the world we live in today are so spoiled, we think we can tell God what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and God will just do it. We are so rotten and so spoiled from the shining glory of God and for the righteousness of God in our lives. And God says, don't ever think. You can just walk away and it'll be okay. You see what I did to the Jewish? I have favored the Gentile. I drafted you in. But don't forget, you can lose it. From mercy to a mess. That quick. America, we're always going to get us fixed. We're always going to find a way. We're Americans. We got the Bill of Rights. We're Americans. You know who made us great? God. You know who will take us down? God. Don't you keep your eyes on the stock market. You better keep your eyes in your Bible. Because the Romans, the Gentile, is our blessing today. It's our season. Let me go ahead and tell you about the season in verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise of your own opinion, hardening part of happened in Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Until the fullness of the Gentile come in. One day, this Gentile mercy is going to stop. And he's going to bring back his covenant, the Jews. I believe when the Gentile stops, he's going to rapture out his church. Tribulation is going to come. And during that period, there's going to be more Jews saved than ever in history. He's coming back to open the eyes and the ears of his children. And there will be great salvation. But today, we're in the Gentile era, and one day it will quit. And all Israel will be saved, as is written, verse 26, about in that time when he comes back to the Israels, he'll be saved. And things will change all so much. And then chapter 12, I close on this. This is written, all that he talked about, 9 to 11, how he moved all of his glory, his power, and his grace to the Gentiles, and how he darkened the ears and darkened the life of the Jew, except for a remnant. And now he says, Gentiles, run with it. Be the light of the world. Be the salt of the earth. Pray for lost people. Save babies. Care for those who are unloving. Be the kingdom people, the Gentiles. It's in your day. It's in your favor. Run with it. And don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. It's your day. Aren't you glad it's our day? Say amen. Isn't it good to be a Gentile? When I go to the Holy Lands, you know what I'm saying? Thank God I'm not a Jew. They can't even have cheese on their hamburgers. I mean, the law is crazy. Thank God I'm a Gentile. But I'm afraid one day, if God lingers, and he doesn't come back in fullness, and archaeological digs, they come back and see America destroyed, all burned up, just like in Israel. All his ruins, and they're digging all over trying to find out what they used to live by. And they find these coins and says, "In God we trust." Huh? I wonder who their God was. They dig in, they dig up this big building, and there it says, "In God we trust." Huh? I wonder who their God was. That's what we do in Israel. We dig up all of Israel, trying to figure out all that God did. The miracles that was said, verifying the Bible. They're digging up Israel to verify in the Bible, and they won't even receive Jesus. I'm afraid America, the Gentile, is in that season. In Romans 12, with the background, what you just heard from 9 to 11, this is our verse, Gentiles. This is our verse. "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Love him with all your heart. Share your life. Stand against evil. Stand against right, even when they don't think it's right. May you carry the cross. Deny yourself. And may the Lord be lifted up through the Gentile world. And may the world be saved through the Gentile." I beseech you, brothers, present our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable, and carry the cross across the world. And then in verse 2, and I close. "And do not be conformed by this world. Do not let the world change your mind. Don't let the world tell you that killing babies ain't that bad. Don't let the world tell you that loving an enemy, not loving an enemy, is not that bad. Let me tell you that lost people, you don't care about them? It's not that bad. Have you prayed for a lost person by name on purpose this week? And if not, why not? May the mercies of Christ be in us." Do we love one another? I tell you what, you mix politics and religion, you got a bomb. In America, it's mixed. It's cloudy. It's ugly. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you should prove that is what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. That you will know what the perfect will of God, and you'll put your weight in it. Don't be conformed. Don't be lightweighted. Don't be swayed. Mercy comes from God, and God chooses who gets it and when they get it. And the only way you can receive mercy today is by faith in a risen Savior. That Christmas story is about a birth. That Easter is about a resurrection. And America doesn't even know the birth or the resurrection as a nation. We have fought for the immorality rights. We fought for all the things that we fought for as Christians, and we're losing hands down. But it's our era. In verse 21, "Don't ever think that God won't remove the blessings from the Gentile. Remember the Jews." Remember the Jews. I don't want to be in a mess. I want to walk with him. I want his mercy in my life. I don't have anything without it. What's money without peace? What's love with nobody to share it with? What's babies? What's it all about? We live in a world today, I keep referring to as I preach, that we're in the Gentile era. Now, do you see it? You see how we got here? By faith. plus nothing. It's grace. And don't take it for granted. I beseech you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice daily for the cross of Christ. Don't forget it. It's what we have. Who has us? Aren't you glad you're a Gentile today? Say amen. I believe we'll be raptured out of those who are born again in this tribulation. Then God comes and many will be saved in the Jewish lineage. There'll be even Gentiles saved in that time. There'll be Gentiles saved, kind of grafted in. But he's coming back. How hard was it when Jesus died on the cross? And the Father in heaven couldn't even watch him bear the sins of the world. It became dark because sin hurts him so bad. And I sin so easily. And I sin so often, thinking God just keeps giving me mercy because I'm a little spoiled. Aren't we? But when God says it's enough, Dr. Verlin Crushwitz was my Old Testament professor. He took us to these stories in the Bible. He says God just kept giving him a little break, give him a little break. But one day God just snaps his finger and says, that's it. It's over. And I'm concerned in America today how well we as Gentiles is carrying this message. I'm concerned about the members of First Baptist, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church. I'm concerned where we are. Been out of church for months. What's happening? How did we ever get out of church for months? Think about all of that. Think about how quickly things can change. And we need a God to bring it back. We need a God to bring it back. And may God bless this church. And may we not take it for granted. We're under the mercy and the grace of our Savior. But he expects us to be a living sacrifice. Let's stand to our feet. Today is an opportunity for the Gentiles. Say, thank you, God, for drafting us in those branches, for grafting us into that so we get all the blessings of Abraham. All the promises you gave to your people are ours. But God's watching. And God's watching. Civil unrest in our streets in America. Who thought? Who thought when that didn't start like every other one, it'd be over with in a week? Who thought? But it's exacerbated. The leadership, the anarchy, the power is all changed. It's all put up for grabs. Who has the power to control people? Where's it at? Where is the fundamental principles of civil liberties and civil rights into our hearts as a nation? We don't need all of the hostility. But America is in a mess today like I've never seen. And you have never seen. And may he continue to bring favor to our nations as the Gentiles. Amen? You love Jews. You love them with all your heart. Jesus is the King of the Jews. King! And he chose us. He chose me. For God so loved the world that whoever believed in him, just confess, I shall be saved. I thank God I have faith in him. Thank God somebody told me about him. And I want to beseech the mercies of Christ. I live under mercy. I live in a nice house. I got beautiful children. I got a wonderful wife. I got a dollar in my pocket. And I got a heart that God watches over and he lets it beat every day. He watches over it every day, my heart. His mercy is so wonderful. How can we question it and walk away from the commandments of the love of Christ? as we sing, if you're here today and you need to make a decision for Jesus while it's our day, maybe you need a church home, a church family. Maybe you need to be alerted to the grace and mercy of Christ that we have in our lives, the Gentiles. And may we honor the love of Christ. May we love each other with or without a tie, with or without a suit, just with or without. We're the people of God. Amen? As we sing, you feel free to come. Kneel on this altar. I'll be 6 foot from you, but God will be right in you. Amen? He'll be touching you. He'll be changing you. You'll be committed to Him. Then you can stand up and tell us what God just did in your heart as a Gentile. And the Jews don't get it today. They're blinded and they're deafened until their day. As we sing, you come now.